is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Racklin, and it is Thursday, August 18th. The preview series rolls on. On the show today, we're going to break down the Raiders. And, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Oh, boy, that backfield. We'll get to it, though. We'll get to it. Before I dive into that, remember, over at FTNFantasy.com, that's where you can check out all the stuff that we have going on, including updated, and I'm talking fully updated, rankings, cheat sheets, all the goods for your fantasy football drafts this weekend. I got one, a home league, baby, and I'm all set up with all these updates. You can be, too. If you want to get behind the paywall at a discount, promo code RATPACK, RATPACK. Now, I recommend the Platinum subscription. That way you get access to some of the extra bells and whistles like League Sync. I know people love that League Sync. The Discord, so you can talk directly to me in our private Discord channels. We also have all of our other staffers in there as well. Plus the advanced stats, the tools, you get that all with Platinum. Hey, the promo code works for that. If you're a high-stakes player, you dabble in that area. We do have a high-stakes package. You know, you get some extra intel from folks who are some of the best high-stakes players out there, giving you waiver wire advice. Hey, the waiver wire advice that I give, it's really designed for the folks in home leagues, right? Well, these guys, they go a little bit deeper for your waiver wires are going to be extremely picked over in those high-stakes leagues. Well, these guys got you covered. We also have an all-access that will get you access not only to the Platinum subscription, but also to FTNDaily.com and to FTNBets.com. Promo code RATPACK works for that, too. All right, go check it out, FTNFantasy.com. Let's get into the Raiders. And I'm not going to bury the lead. I don't think we should bury the lead. Let's talk about Devontae Adams right from the jump. All right, right now, if you were to say who is the best wide receiver in the NFL, and I'm not talking best fantasy wide receiver, I'm just talking pound for pound, skill on the field, well-roundedness, every little bit that you want from a wide receiver, it would be hard for me to not say Devontae Adams. I mean, Cooper Kupp is right there as well, but there are a couple elements to Adams' game that you just don't get with Cooper Kupp. Now, granted, probably could say the same thing about Adams and Kupp the other way around, but I do love me some Devontae Adams. Now, the question, though, has this production that we have seen over the course of his career been the product of who he played with? In other words, Aaron Rodgers? Well, of course, I don't think we can discount Aaron Rodgers and his role in that production. But also, by the same token, Devontae Adams was wildly productive at the college level as well. Like, it's not like this dude just kind of came out of nowhere and then blossomed in the NFL. No, he was a stud at the college level where his quarterback was Derek Carr. Now, Carr is not Rodgers. Carr is not a future Hall of Famer, as Devontae Adams may have said. Well, maybe not now. I don't know. I don't want to rule it out, but I don't think it's likely. He's not on that track. Let's say that. But Carr is coming off a season where he was not bad. In fact, the way that I often equate Derek Carr is he is this generation's Philip Rivers. Like, Rivers was a dude who, and if you played fantasy football for a while, you know this. If you're new to fantasy football, here was Philip Rivers, right? Philip Rivers was a dude who, if you drafted, you put his sticker on the board, nobody ever went, oh, nice pick, bro. Oh, you sniped me. Oh, I hate you. Nobody ever said that. You would put his sticker on the board, and it would hush would come over the draft, and you just kind of sulk back to your seat and maybe pretend like it all didn't happen. But, you know, at the end of the season, you would look down, and Philip Rivers, for as unsexy as it all was, would be like quarterback 12, quarterback 13, right around that rate. Yeah, it wasn't amazing. But it never was that bad, right? It was unsexy along the way. Well, I mean, let's look at Derek Carr. What was he last year? Quarterback 13. What was he the year before? Quarterback 13. The year before that, quarterback 15. This dude threw the ball 626 times last year. This dude had 4,814 passing yards. Now, granted, only 23 passing scores, but it's not like we're dealing with Ben DiNucci. Okay, Derek Carr is not that bad. And now you have a world-class, top-flight, elite wide receiver, that's going to help the cause out. And they're going to force feed. And it also is his boy. They're going to force feed the crap out of Davante Adams. And if I don't think, you know, chances he falls, not great, but I have seen him fall just a little bit. I have seen people draft Stephon Diggs ahead of him. Chances that he falls, if he falls, though, I'm all over it in the second round. Love, love, love Davante Adams. And he's my number four wide receiver. That is not changing anytime soon. Now, the problem, though, is you have Davante Adams, you have a healthy Darren Waller, which, by the way, Darren Waller, his stock has fallen to a point where it's like, ooh, this guy's in my tight end wheelhouse now. If Darren Waller is going in the fourth round, no thank you. Darren Waller is going in the late fifth round, or dare I say in the sixth round, I am all over that, with the one exception being if I already have Adams. If I already have Adams, I don't want to double dip there. I like to spread my eggs around a little bit, you know, a little bit in these home leagues. But Darren Waller is giving me Mark Andrews vibes of last year. Mark Andrews was falling to the fifth round last year. Let's not forget. I'm getting those vibes right now. So I actually did take Waller over the weekend, and I'm happy to get a share of him. That was an industry league, but I'm still happy to get a share of him in a redraft. So the problem, though, is there's just maybe not quite enough there to sustain Hunter Renfrow, certainly not where he finished last year. Like, he had an absolute breakout year. It was one of the bigger surprises of the year. He goes and puts up 103 catches. But he did so on 128 targets. I don't know, A, the efficiency, if that's going to continue, because that's super efficient. B, is he going to see 128 targets, or is it going to be more like 90 to 100? If we get that sort of dip, he goes from being a wide receiver 2+, obviously finished slightly better than that last year, to now being a low-ceiling wide receiver 3, and if not, maybe fringe wide receiver 3. So keep it in mind with Hunter Renfrow. It's not like a knock on him. He's a baller, man. He doesn't look like a football player, but that dude is a football player. He's a stud, but he's now third in the pecking order. Other than that, not much to get excited about out of the pass catchers, but we have an interesting backfield. And by the way, Derek Carr is one of the better safe options, as I like to call them. These are the guys you know what you're going to get out of in fantasy football drafts. He's not a quarterback one. He's not a top 12 guy, but he's one of the better quarterback twos. So guys like Kirk Cousins, like, he's right in that range of a player. You know what you're going to get out of Derek Carr. It's not going to be uber sexy, but would it surprise anybody at the end of the year if he finishes like quarterback 10? No, not at all. He's this generation's Philip Rivers. Let's talk about the backfield. So you have in this backfield Josh Jacobs. You thought Kenyon Drake, but it doesn't look like it's going to be Kenyon Drake in that role, the James White role. Because remember, it's Hoodie McJr. is the head coach now, Josh McDaniels. So that changes everything. You also have rookie Zamir White. Brandon Bolden is there. Amir Abdullah. Amir Abdullah is going to be in the James White role. Kenyon Drake is fighting now. He's fighting to stay on the roster almost, it feels like. I don't think I've heard anybody throw out the idea that he could be cut. But here's the deal. Jacobs is making the team. They're going to run this dude into the ground in his last year of his contract. And then he gone. Like, he gone. That's it. Then you have Zamir White, the rookie, who will eventually take over that role. Not this year, but he'll be, you know, the next man up if Jacobs goes down. He's going to make the team. Amir Abdullah apparently has been this, like, breath of fresh air. And he's going to make the team. So who is the final guy? If they carry that many, is it the old faithful Brandon Bolden, who actually can do a little bit more for you than just show up as a running back? You know, maybe he does a little special teams for you. Or is it Kenyon Drake? Kenyon Drake could be cut. I'm just saying. So be careful there. Be careful. Jacobs is basically right after the dead zone is where he's going. Maybe he's a back end dead zone back. But if Jacobs is there in the sixth round, I've been very tempted. You know, I'll either look running back at sixth or seventh round after I come out of like a string of wide receivers. And Jacobs, I did grab in the Scott Fish Bowl for that reason, because he fell just a tick too far. And like I said, maybe he doesn't do anything in the passing game. I don't care. They're going to give this dude 250 plus carries and run him into the ground. So sign me up for that at that value. not that much earlier than that. And then Zamir White, if you really wanted a late round flyer. I don't think there's going to be much to Amir Abdullah, but it wouldn't surprise me if he services like a DFS guy. Like somebody won $1 million with Amir Abdullah in their lineup. All right, let's move over to Miami. I love the head coach, Mike McDaniel. I love the mindset. He's a super sharp dude. A dude went to Yale. He's a hip hop head. He's a sneaker head. I mean, everything kind of checks all my boxes, right? He loves football, hip hop, and sneakers. All right, I'm cool with you, right? Do you like beer too? And bourbon maybe? Do you play golf? Because that's me, pretty much in a nutshell. But anyway, he obviously made a power move right away, bringing in Tyreek Hill. You also have Jaylen Waddle there from last year. Now, the question isn't necessarily about their skill set. It's about Tua Tagovailoa. And there's going to be haters for Tua Tagovailoa. But after the trade went down, I did write up a piece over at FTNFantasy.com. And it basically outlined how Tyreek Hill has not really been a high air yards guy, like targeted heavily downfield, for a number of seasons. He's actually more of a lower air yards guy. Not a Jarvis Landry low, but lower air yards guy who is relying on his punt returner-like skill set after the catch to create yards. So in other words, hit the kid in stride and let him do things that normal human beings can't do and most NFL players can't do. And he will. And Tua Tagovailoa can do that. He did it at the college level at Alabama. And to a lesser extent, he did it last year. You know, he had Waddle there, of course, last year. Now, in terms of the target distribution between the two, I do think Hill's going to be the higher volume guy, but only slightly. Like, if you say, all right, Jeff, you have 250 targets to distribute between the two of them. And I'm just throwing a round number out. I would say like 115 to Waddle, you know, somewhere in that range. Maybe even 120. So it's like 130 to 120 or 135 to 115. It's not that huge of a gap, like one target extra per game. So Waddle's still going to be fine. Tyreek Hill is a top 10 wide receiver. Waddle is a top 20 wide receiver. I'm not quite top 15, but I could see him, you know, as the 17th wide out off the board, something like that. Not a problem with that whatsoever. No issue with it. Because you're relying on a kid with who's coming off of one of the most productive rookie seasons we've ever seen from a volume standpoint. And all of his speed and athleticism really hasn't been showcased just yet. Like, we saw almost like a possession receiver skill set out of him, and he's so much more than that. So it's exciting to see what'll take place here with McDaniel calling the shots. Now, Tua is not. He's like the opposite of Derek Carr. He's a quarterback too, but he is not safe. He is definitely an upside option. Now, if he can really tap into Hill and Waddle and some of the other weapons they have, then you could be looking at a pretty big season from Tua. He could also fall flat on his face. So that's why these upside options are a little risky. And I always like to draft a safe option and an upside option in the late rounds. I'm not drafting a starter and a backup. I'm drafting two quarterbacks, and I'm hoping to hit a home run with the upside guy. And if I don't, I have the safe guy. Like, if Tua really falls flat on his face, boom. His rear end is cut. He gone. So there's that with Tua. I know people might be looking at Mike Gesicki. He's going in a range where, man, I don't want to draft a tight end. You know, he's going outside of the top 8, but inside the top 15. And like, if I'm going to draft a late round tight end, I'm just going to shoot for a crazy upside with Evan Ingram or somebody like that. Gesicki has upside. He also has downside. Like, this dude could be the number one fantasy tight end in any given week. And guess what? He could have zero catches for, obviously, 0 yards and 0 fantasy points any given week. He did it last year. People were frustrated like crazy, and they failed to realize that he's like a 3-for-32 plus guy, but not much more than that. So just be careful with Gesicki. It's better for Tua to have him than for us to have him. Let's put it that way. All right. Let's decipher this backfield. So here's the list on the backfield currently. You have Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, Sony Michel. They're all new to this squad. You then have Savon Ahmed, Miles Gaskin, and, a whole host of deeper names. As of right now, what we saw in the first preseason game, two guys did not suit up. Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. The lead back in that game was Sony Michel. The next man up was Ahmed, and then Miles Gaskin was way down the list. I've had people ask me if Myles Gaskin is cuttable in Dynasty, and you know what? I think he might be. It was great while it lasted. We see this out of guys sometimes, but man, he's getting outclassed by the rest of the group. I don't see it happening. Maybe somehow, some way it happens elsewhere, but I highly doubt it. So it's, I really think, going to come down to a trio of Edmonds, Mostert, and Michelle. Now, Mostert often hurt, right? So Edmonds and Michelle, very different skill sets from these guys. Who is better suited to this outside zone scheme in Miami? I mean, look at San Francisco. What backs tend to excel there? They are smaller backs, usually very quick backs. That is Chase Edmonds. It's not Sony Michel. Sony Michel could have a Jeff Wilson role in this offense, but if you're looking for who's the Elijah Mitchell, it's Chase Edmonds. And you're getting him at a great, great, great deal right now. On draft day, you get Chase Edmonds in the seventh round. I mean, that if you're a zero RB person or a hero RB / punt RB2, whatever you want to call it, I always call it punt RB2, that is the guy, you know, that, you know, you talk about league winners. I think it's an overused phrase, but let's say a difference maker if you draft this dude and it actually hits, because this run game could be very, very effective. So there you go. Miami, the Raiders in the hopper. Up next, we'll talk about Minnesota and the New England Patriots. Remember to head on over to ftnfantasy.com and that promo code RATPACK, RATPACK, 20% off, man. Remember as well, FTN Fantasy Football Podcast featuring yours truly. Talked some handcuffs on it recently here. Go subscribe to that show as well. You get double the JR in your life, kind of. At Jeff Radcliffe on Twitter as well. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Radcliffe, and I'm out.